And we're kind of getting everybody together after the summer is over. Let me ask this question. How many of you began school this week? Raise your hands. I see people of all ages. Some of you are teachers, some of you are students, and this is a wonderful time for transition. How many of you have already received an assignment from your teacher? Or assignments, probably several of them, haven't you? All right. Well, I want you to think with me about being on assignment this morning. And I'd like for you to take, if you have your church bulletin that looks like this, would you hold that in front of you? Because I'd like for you to notice with me what it says. Maybe when you came into church this morning, you saw something that I can see from here as I look out that door, these very words, beautifully placed on the wall. And what a marvelous testimony this is of what we as a church want to be here at Maple Avenue Baptist Church. I wonder if you would read that with me. Would you say it with me? Becoming more like Christ, leading more to Christ. You said that very well, without peeking. Can you say it with me, looking at me, with both eyes up here? I wonder if I can say it. Let's see. Becoming more like Christ, leading more to Christ. What do you think about that? Is that pretty good? Did you realize that's an assignment that has been given to every one of us who has received Jesus Christ as Savior? If you know Jesus as your Lord and Master, the Lord Jesus wants you and me to become more and more like Him. Isn't He wonderful? We've been singing about Him, and the Lord wants His life to be in our life so that people around us see His life. And that's what it means to lead more to Christ. How many of you are ministers this morning? If you know Jesus as a Savior, you've been called to ministry and to sharing the good news of the gospel. To help you understand that a little better, I'd like you to take your Bibles and let's turn to the book of 2 Corinthians. In case you're wondering where that is, it's just after 1 Corinthians. Can you say with me that the books of the New Testament up to that? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. There we are, and by now you've found it. 2 Corinthians and chapter 5. And I'd like for you to see with me the last few verses beginning with verse 17. Oh, I love verse 17. Therefore, it says, if anyone is in Christ, that means if you have received Jesus as your Savior, you're in Christ and He's in you. Isn't that a beautiful arrangement? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. He or she is a brand new person spiritually. And notice what else it says. And all the old has gone and the new has come. The old life of sin has been canceled by the blood of Jesus Christ, and He's given to you and me a brand new eternal life that's enough to say what we were singing a moment ago. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! My, isn't that wonderful? He's done that for you and for me. Now, look at verse 18. All this is from God who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Now there it's talking about how we have been brought to Christ. Now He wants us to win other people to lead more and more to Christ. Look at verse 19. That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. That's my assignment. He has given me an assignment to share this message and ministry of reconciliation. Did you realize that in Georgetown today and this surrounding area and all over Ontario, in fact, all around the world, most people do not know Jesus as their personal Savior. They are alienated from Him. They are blind to the wonderful truth of salvation. They are dead in trespasses and sins. And God has given to those of us who have received Jesus as our Savior this new life, and not to keep it for ourselves, but to share the good news with everybody else, leading more to Christ. That's what it really is saying. He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Verse 20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. An ambassador. How would you like to be an ambassador? Now, if you were an ambassador to Iran for Canada this past week, you just got pulled off the job. But I want you to know this, that you're an ambassador for Jesus to a world that's hostile to the Lord, but we're on assignment to share that gospel wherever we are. Verse 20 again, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you, that means we beg you, we earnestly ask you, be reconciled to God. God made Him, that's Jesus, who had no sin, to become sin for you and me, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Isn't that an amazing picture? All of us sinners headed for a Christless eternity in a place called eternal hell have been given this wonderful privilege of the invitation to come and receive Jesus as Savior and Lord. I hope you've done that. I hope you can say this morning, and maybe one of the things that'll help me to know that you have, if you'll smile when I say this, have you received Jesus as your Savior? I'm looking at you. Isn't He wonderful? Now, in your bulletin, you'll find a little page where you can maybe take some brief notes as I just chat with you a little bit about, first of all, how our Savior, Jesus, was on assignment. And I want you to see that in the light of this table that is in front of me. In a few moments, we are going to celebrate and remember the death of Jesus Christ by taking something in our hands. All of you who know and love the Lord, in a few moments, I want you to take a piece of bread as it's passed. And I want you to take a cup that is passed. The bread picturing Jesus' body placed on that cross as the sacrifice for my sin and yours. And the cup, that juice, reminds us of the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. But I want you to see how Jesus was on assignment. That's why He came. And you know, there are a number of Bible verses that tell us that. So as you look at that sheet that you have, and Paul, who's at the controls there, thanks, Paul McLeod, and you're going to let us know what the first assignment was here. Letter A, you'll find it in Luke chapter 2 and verse 49, where Jesus said this as a boy of 12 years of age. He knew that He was on assignment. Now, if you were to read this in the King James translation, it says, I must be about my Father's business. He knew that. And I look at young people here today, even some preteens, as well as teens and young adults. I hope already you have a wonderful sense, I'm on assignment, just like Jesus was on assignment, and He knew it when He was 12 years old. As it says in the NIV, that same verse, didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house? I've got a responsibility here. In fact, He was there with His speaking to a whole group of leaders of the Jewish people. How did Jesus get to Jerusalem when He was 12? I'll tell you how. You see, God had ordained in the Old Testament that three times a year every man was supposed to come to Jerusalem to worship and praise the Lord. And if you get the men to come, their wives will come, the children will come, everybody came, and they did that for hundreds of years at the three great feasts, the Passover feast in the early spring, and the feast of Pentecost in the late spring, and in the fall, the Feast of Tabernacles and the wonderful things surrounding that. And can you imagine the excitement that people felt as they came to the temple to worship the Lord? And Jesus came with his parents from the north in Galilee, in the city, at the little town of Nazareth, and they came, and it took several days to get there, big long trip, but they came and Jesus was there in the temple. Now, his folks thought that Jesus was with the relatives who were heading back to town up north when they left. And as they got a ways, they realized, hey, where's Jesus? And they sought for 3 days. Can you imagine? Have you ever lost a child for a while? Maybe it happened at the CNE or some other place like that. But for 3 days. Finally, they went back to Jerusalem and found him in the temple. They were quite disturbed about this. What was Jesus' answer? Didn't you know that I must be about my Father's business? Talking about his heavenly Father. He was on assignment. I want you to see something else here. Luke chapter 4, 18, as we move on in the life of Jesus, and now he's 30 years old, and he's early in his ministry and in his hometown, and he speaks from Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2. And here's what he says. The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to preach what? Good news to the poor. Hey, anybody poor here? Oh, you might say, well, oh, I got quite a bit in my bank account. You know, when you die, that's all gone. Probably be gone even before then. But did you realize that you are poor until you come to Jesus? Aren't you glad for what he did in stepping from his riches in glory? That though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that we, through his poverty, might become rich. And if you know Jesus is your Savior, you poor person, you're a rich person in Jesus Christ. And that's the good news. Jesus came to share that good news. Here's another assignment. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, later on in Jesus' ministry, he said this, I came to seek and save what was what? Lost. Every one of us was lost in sin until we came to Jesus, and he found us and he brought us into his family. And all of these are assignment statements that we're reading here. This was the mission that Jesus was on. Here's another one. In Hebrews chapter 10, and look at verse 7, it says, this is Jesus saying, I have come to do your will, O God. God the Father loves you. Jesus came to be that love, to share that love, to die on the cross for you. Oh, how he loves you. Can you say John 3:16 with me? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Does that excite you? That's what Jesus came to do, to seek the lost. Something else. I want you to notice John chapter 10 and verse 10. This is Jesus saying, here's another way that he spoke of his assignment given to him by the Heavenly Father. He said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Oh my, what life he offers to every person who will receive him as Savior and Lord. That's why he came. Here's another way that he said it, John chapter 10. Twice he says this in verse 15 and also in verse 17. Here's why I came. He said, this is my assignment. I lay down my life for the sheep. He was speaking, of course, you and I understand it. When he said that, they didn't understand what he was saying because he hadn't died yet on the cross of Calvary. But he said, I am the good shepherd, and I've come to give my life for the sheep, all the lost sheep. Notice this next slide here, a picture that I want you to see. That kind of sums up what Jesus came to do. You know, this picture is very meaningful to me because it hung on my bedroom wall when I was a little kid. And my parents used this picture to describe to me the gospel. And they said, little James, my mother always called me James, you are that sheep that's lost, fell off the precipice, caught way down there in that canyon. And the shepherd is Jesus who came to rescue you. And that big black vulture you see there is Satan that would like to wreck and ruin your life. And you need to be willing to let Jesus rescue you. That's one way to share the gospel. And that picture says it all. You remember the story that Jesus shared in Luke chapter 15. You'll find it in the first verses about a shepherd who had 100 sheep. And as he counted them one night, bringing them into the fold, there was only one sheep. There were only 99. One sheep was missing. And Jesus left the other 99 in safekeeping while he went out to seek that sheep that was lost. And that picture tells it, at great expense. There were 99 that safely lay in the shelter of the fold, but one was out on the hills away, far off from the gates of gold. Away on the mountains wild and bare, away from the tender shepherd's care, away from the tender shepherd's care. Lord, thou hast here thy 99, are they not enough for thee? But the shepherd made answer, this of mine has wandered away from me. And although the road be rough and steep, I go to the desert to find my sheep. I go to the desert to find my sheep. But none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, nor how far the Savior had to go to find that sheep that was lost. Out in the desert, he heard its cry, sick and helpless and ready to die. Lord, whence are those blood drops all the way that mark out the mountain track? They were shed for one who had gone astray ere the shepherd could bring him back. Lord, whence are thy hands so rent and torn? They are pierced tonight by many a thorn. But all through the mountains thunder-riven, and up from the rocky steep, there arose a glad cry to the gates of heaven, rejoice, I have found my sheep. And the angels echoed around the throne, rejoice, for the Lord brings back his own. Rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, for the Lord brings back his own. And that's what that picture's talking all about that you see there. I hope you as a lost sheep have been found. Have you let Jesus rescue you? If you have, if you haven't, I've got good news for you. This very morning you could receive Jesus as your personal Savior. You don't have to be lost anymore. You can be a found sheep, a protected sheep, a loved sheep. And that's what Jesus came. He was on assignment. But did you know, not only was Jesus on assignment, but as a result of his fulfilling his assignment, you and I, Christians, are on assignment. And I want you to see that from the scriptures. There are several of them. We noted six different texts that showed that Jesus was on assignment. Can I share with you six more that show that you and I, if we've received Christ as Savior, are on assignment? And the first one is Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20, in which Jesus said, I want you to go and make disciples. Jesus wants not just decisions, and maybe you made a decision sometime. Yes, I want to receive Jesus as Savior. But let me ask this, are you really a disciple? Are you following Him? Or are you playing games with God? God forgive you. And He will, if you'll ask Him. And get back in step with the Lord so that you can then make disciples as well of people who are around you. Did you realize that over these many years that Maple Avenue Baptist Church has been here, the people of this congregation have had the joy of making disciples for Jesus? And as I look at Pastor Conrado over there, I was reading his annual report for what's been happening in the Spanish ministries of this congregation. And I saw a whole list of people who in this last year came to know Jesus as Savior and Lord of their lives. And the same thing I'm sure could be said of our English-speaking ministries here. And that's what we're all about. That's our assignment. Notice another scripture that says in Mark 16, verse 15, go and preach the good news to all, to everybody. God gave us that responsibility. Do you know people who don't know Jesus as Savior and Lord yet? I hope you're purposely making friends of them. As I think I told you a couple of weeks ago when we were here first back in late July, Adrian, my wife, and I both swim, and we try to keep our body in condition by swimming three times a week. On Friday, as I was swimming, and I was chatting with a couple of the guys in the locker room, and I gave them an invitation. I said, tomorrow, which was now yesterday morning, I'm speaking at a men's brunch, and I'd like to invite you to come. And you know what? Both of those guys came yesterday morning and mingled with our people, who our guys who are at Benton Street Baptist Church in Kitchener, where I served for 25 years as a pastor. It's still home church if I'm home, but it's fun being with you for this little period of time as we wait for a new pastor to come here. But I want you to know that those guys came, and God uses us in different ways to touch base with different people, whether it be in the marketplace where you're selling apples or wherever you are. The Lord uses you to become a bridge so that people who are lost can become saved, so that they can, who are in the darkness, can step into the light. And every one of us, no matter where you are, in your school, in the place where you work, God's put you. Isn't it interesting that salt doesn't do much if it's in the salt shaker? But if you spread it out, it can make the food taste a little better, can't it? And God said, you are salt of the earth, you Christians, and He just sprinkles us all over the place. Now here we are, the church gathered this morning. But this week, we are the church scattered for the purpose of identifying and sharing the gospel, identifying people who need the Lord, and sharing lovingly, getting to know them as friends, and showing our compassion for them, and sharing the gospel with them as well. And that's what this verse says. Go and preach the good news to all, to everybody. Again, in Luke chapter 24, you notice at the end of each of the Gospels, Jesus gave the assignment. Matthew 28, go and make disciples. Mark chapter 16, go and preach the good news to all. Luke chapter 24, these are the last chapters of each of those books. He says, you are witnesses of these things. He says, go and share that word with everybody. And in John chapter 20, Jesus said, I am sending you. You are on assignment. And in the next book, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, he says, you will be my witnesses. Over and over again, the Lord underscored the assignment that every one of us has. And now notice again this final expression of it here. There are many more, but I just had to we don't have all day to talk about this. But I do want for you to look again. Would you take your Bibles once more? Turning, if you have closed them, turn them again to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And in verse 18 and 19, here's what the assignment is. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. What is that? That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed to us. Uh-oh, here's the assignment. The message of reconciliation. How do you like that word, reconciled? It happened several times here. Did you see it in verse 18? Who reconciled, and it says also reconciliation. In fact, you'll find five times, one, two, three, four, five times in those verses, those last verses of this chapter, the word reconciled or reconciliation or reconciling. What does that mean? What it means is this. To be reconciled means once we were friends, but something happened that broke that friendship. Now we're not friends anymore. Maybe I can illustrate it by a couple of chairs. When God made the world, you read all about this in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. And he made man, Adam and Eve, mankind. How many of you are related to the Adamses? Let me see your hands. Most of you? If you're not, maybe you're from outer space, and we welcome you here today. But I'm talking now just to those who were born on planet Earth here. If you're part of the Adams family, our great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, Adam, and Eve, his wife, had wonderful fellowship with God. They walked in the garden. They talked together. What beautiful fellowship. They were friends. And then one day, a snake in the garden, you know the story, and Satan had taken on the form of a serpent, and he tempted Adam and Eve to say no to what God said, watch out for. In fact, they said, God had said, don't eat of that one tree. He'd given them everything else, but he put them on a test to see if they would respond to him from their own will out of love for the Lord to obey him. Aren't you glad God didn't make us as robots? He made us in his image with a capacity to choose. And he wanted to see if we would really choose him as our best friend. And one day, after that wonderful fellowship, Adam and Eve decided, through the temptation that Satan gave, and by the way, Satan's still in the garden today. He's in your garden. He's trying to give you some trouble, just like he did Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve disobeyed God in a seemingly little thing, but it was very, very big because it made a statement. God, I'm going to disobey you. And as a result, what happened? Man turned his back on God. They're not friends anymore. And God, the Bible says, is so holy that he cannot countenance or put up with sin. And as a result, he had to turn his back on man. What a sad situation. And man, that very moment, died spiritually and began to die physically. And death has passed on every one of us. Do you realize it's a very dangerous place to live in Ontario? Do you know what the death rate is here? You're right, 100%. Sooner or later, it'll be my name in the obituary column. And that's all as a result of having our turned back to God. But God still loves us, even though he can't countenance our sin. And even before time began, God had already put in place a plan whereby he could turn around towards us. And that's through the blood of Jesus Christ, who stood between God and man. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And Jesus died on the cross for you and me, and paid the price for my sin, the price for the sins of the world. And as a result, God could then look back at us. That's why our text says, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And now he invites every one of us individually to turn back to him by receiving the gift of eternal life through the price that Jesus paid on the cross, so that our sins can be canceled. And then we turn around and these two now are reconciled. Isn't that wonderful? Can I ask you a personal question? Now, I asked you before, how many of you know Jesus as your Savior? Let me ask it again, but in a different way. Have you been personally reconciled to God? Yes? I hope you can say yes. He's my friend. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. He's my Master. He's my King. And I invite you this morning to give testimony to that by... How would you like to preach this morning? Well, if you will read a very interesting passage in Scripture, take your Bible again. You had it open to 2 Corinthians. Now go back one book to 1 Corinthians, chapter 11. Here the Apostle Paul is instructing the people about the Lord's table. And here's what he says. For I have received from the Lord, verse 23 of 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, I've received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. So, a man or a woman ought to examine him or herself before they eat the bread and drink the cup. And so, right now is examination time. Just before we come to this table. But I want you to see in verse 26, it says, for whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim... Another word you could say there, you preach. So you want to preach this morning? You proclaim the Lord's death till He come. And that's what this table is all about. I want you to know that there's going to be an examination day coming, and you'll see that in this next slide. Yes, there will be an exam. We're all on assignment. I hope you'll fulfill your assignment, but there's an exam at the end. And 2 Corinthians 5:10, would you read this verse with me as you look at it on the screen? We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Are you in your body yet? I see a bunch of bodies here. And as long as you're in your body, we are still on assignment. And the assignment is to live for Christ and share the gospel with everybody. And just as our wonderful statement as a church is, and you saw it in your notes as well, that on assignment, becoming more like Christ and leading more to Christ. That's our assignment. I'd like to ask those who are going to be serving us to come to sit here at the front. I'd like to ask our worship team to come and take their place right now. And while they're doing that, I want you to go on to just see a little bit more here. Another slide here. Here's a picture I want you to see. Just to give you the feel of those disciples in the upper room when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. Now, there are many pictures of the Last Supper, but I like this one especially. As you count the guys around the table, how many do you see there? 11. Didn't Jesus have 12? But if you look up in the upper left corner of the picture, you'll see in the shadow the silhouette of Judas, who was walking away. How sad it would be if anybody here walked away from Jesus. And one of the ways that we demonstrate, and He's taught us to demonstrate, that we're not walking away, but we are proclaiming His death till He comes, is that He gave us the Lord's table. You see this loaf of bread here and the cup, which picture what we're doing. And today we are going to be passing the bread which is broken. The Bible says His body was broken for us. And you're going to take a piece of the broken bread, symbolizing that Jesus died on the cross and His body, oh, what gruesome awfulness He went through physically for us. But even more than that was what He suffered spiritually in bearing our sin in His body on the tree. And the cup is a picture of the blood that Jesus Christ shed on the cross. And when you take the bread and the cup, you are making a statement, I have received Jesus as my Savior. Do you realize that the Lord gave us the communion not to just share all by ourselves in our little room? He wants us to do it together. Why? Because it's a testimony. Did you know it's okay to peek when you have communion? Why? Because you're testifying. I want people to know I love Jesus Christ. I have received Him as my personal Savior. Now I want you to see this next slide. The Lord's table tells us that Jesus was on assignment. But not only that, notice next here. Calvary was no accident. That was God's purpose that it should happen. Notice the next thing here. Every detail of that death was prophesied in the Scriptures in the Old Testament. Hundreds of years before, Jesus knew His assignment and He fulfilled it. Let's take the next line. He finished his assignment. And on the cross he said, "It is finished." And mission accomplished. And the Lord's table speaks of that finished work. No more sacrifice for sin is needed. Jesus paid it all. Notice this next thing. The Lord's table now is a witness that we, all of us, are on assignment. And so the Lord's table shows my commitment to the Lord and to the assignment. So I hope you will participate with this, but I hope you're going to say two things by this when you take the bread and the cup. Number one, I have received Christ as my Savior, and I'm seeking to honor Him as Lord of my life. And I'm also willing to continue to be on assignment to share this good news till Jesus comes again. Are you willing for that? Did you realize that there may be somebody here who has never yet received Jesus Christ as Savior? But I've got this good news for you. You could receive Him right now, even with your eyes open, and pray, "Oh God, I'm a sinner. I received Christ as my Savior, and I accept the assignment now to grow in the Lord and to share this good news with my world." And if that is your prayer, I would invite you, along with all the others, to take the bread and the cup, because that'll be a testimony. You're going to preach, "Jesus is my Savior and my Lord. I'm willing for the assignment." And so, Pastor Josh, would you come, and as you pass these elements to our people, I would like, and what we're going to do is you're going to receive the bread and then hold that. You're also going then to receive the cup and hold both of these as tokens. Just meditate on the wonder of what Jesus has done for you. And then in a few moments, I'll invite you to take the bread and then to drink the cup. And our worship team is going to lead us as we worship the Lord right now.
Made that all who come in
together. Shall I give you a microphone? John McIntyre, I'd like you to lead us in a prayer of thanksgiving that Jesus was willing to hang on that cross for you and me. Would you lead us, please?
Dear loving Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that we can come here before Thee. We thank you, Father, for this table of remembrance of what you have done for us on Calvary. We thank you, Father, that when we have put our faith and trust in Thee, we know we have a security for eternity.
Amen.
We thank you, Father, for this bread, which is a remembrance of Thy broken body for us. We thank you, Father, for all that Thou hast done for us. And we ask, Father, that Thou wilt help us to forgive us for our sins and help us to remember Thee at this time. We ask it in Thy name.
Amen. Friends, as you look at that picture, I want you to see that it's Jesus who invites you, if you love Him, to eat this bread in remembrance of Him. Let us eat. And Brother Paul West, would you give thanks to the Lord for the shed blood of our Savior?
Dear Father, we thank you that we can come before you this morning. Though our sins are as scarlet, you see us through the crimson filter of the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you for that blood, knowing that it was not the nails that held him to the cross.
Amen. Are you ready now to give another testimony? I belong to Jesus and He belongs to me. Do so, proclaim it by drinking this cup in remembrance of Him. Amen.
Stand together, and we're going to sing the last verse of the song that Rebecca and Jenna sang during communion. And so with thankfulness and faith we rise.
Thank you, Brother Patra.
Respond.
Thanks, John. Thanks, lads.
And faith we rise to respond.
Well, dear friends, may this be a week of victory in your life. One of the nice things about after the church service is that we go out, but we meet people as we do that. Connect with as many as you can and smile at them, tell them you love them, any nice thing that you feel the Holy Spirit wants you to say to one another. And I want you to greet my friend. Where's Peter Esau? Raise your hand, Peter. There he is, right there. He's a friend of mine that heard we were here. And so give Peter and friends a greeting there. And everybody else that you see, may I just underscore, next Sunday, three opportunities for you to be blessed. At 9 o'clock in the morning, Adrian and I were so thrilled to be in that Bible class that taught by Janet Armstrong. And it's all the theme this fall on renewal, revival, God's blessing in our lives, from the books of Ezra and Nehemiah. And we had a nice class this morning, didn't we? All of you who were there. And there's room for some more. We invite all of you to come. And, of course, the morning service at 10:30. And let me underscore at 6:30 next Sunday evening. Put it on your calendar now, right here in this room, and we're going to begin this interesting series of Kingdom Life Living. How do you live the kingdom life? And that'll be the first question. What is it anyway? And we're going to talk about that, and I think you'll find it exciting. Now let's pray. Oh, may the love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide on everybody here who knows and loves the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
What do you think this is?
Party?
Yeah, I gotta talk to you.